The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
Yo, what's going on, people? Welcome to Throwdown, episode 379. I'm your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight I'm joined by Emilio Lopez.
I've been having dreams.
Chris Seeley.
Hey, what's up, everyone?
Carlos Romero.
I just want to let everyone in the Throwdown chat know Adam just woke up.
Yeah.
that explains stuff.
You know, Adam Vail.
I tell you, Joaquin Phoenix is Moon Knight.
And Brian Manjoma.
What up?
Yeah. Yo, by the way, I'm so glad I have like you guys muted while I do the intro because Adam was just talking and shit. We're talking about Moon Knight. You thought Oscar Isaac was Joaquin Phoenix.
I saw you saying some fancy names because I don't know who Oscar Isaac, whatever fucking. All I know is.
How do you know who Oscar Isaac is?
He's an Ex Machina, man.
Again,
you didn't see that?
Another movies. Making them movies.
What? And Llewyn Davis.
Man, that movie almost won an Academy Award, man.
Almost, exactly. So it didn't make it to the panel. I'm watching this. And I'm like, he looks like Phoenix just without the clef.
Just without the clef, that should have been a dead giveaway.
I know, but I was like, maybe he got the shit fixed. You know, there's surgeries for that. So.
Oh, man. That's wild.
And the bad British accent didn't throw you off?
Well, like, first, that's the other thing. Then I was like, all right, maybe it's not him, just some Indian dude. Like, that's what I was thinking.
He kind of does look a little Indian, you know?
Yeah,
well, so you know, like, that's the power. See, like, as soon as you change your middle name, well, as soon as you don't use, like your Hispanic name, you know, Hispanic people will play anything.
Yeah, no, that is true.
I mean, come on.
Yeah. I don't know. But besides that, it's still a bad show. Regardless of who's playing it,
After that Loki trash, I'm like, I'm done with these shows. This is bullshit. You know,
is it the same people behind this?
It's the new Disney Marvel. Studios. Yeah,
no, I know. I was just showing for producing stuff. You know, like
doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. It's all trash.
It's all trash.
Carlos and I heard today we got another spinoff of Walking Dead coming.
Spinoff number 20.
The spinoff of a spinoff. That's ridiculous. Yeah. Oh, Fear the Walking Dead is so good.
Fear
is getting a spinoff.
And wow. It's
yeah.
You should read Richard Bailey Jr.'s text about that.
Whoa.
Oh, man. Yeah. He was like,
controversial.
He was telling me he was going to start charging me to be on the podcast. I'm like, whoa. He's like, you know how much time I'm putting into that? What the fuck?
That's wild, man. Anyway, we are here to talk about some video games. Again, this is one of those weeks where no megatons, you know, Activision wasn't bought again or nothing like that. Just a couple of interesting things. And as a matter of fact, our featured topic here is probably like super insider. Like, this is just for gamers. Like, people outside of gaming are like, who the fuck is this shit? But we got to talk about this. The biggest thing, I was talking about this on Twitter all week because how insane it is. So our boy, Hassan Karaman, Mr. Blue Box himself, did not one but two interviews. He came out. You know, the guy's not a robot or a fucking deep fake or whatever, right?
Or a Kojima surrogate.
Yeah, or surrogate or actor, even though Frankie B, shout out to him, he still thinks it's an actor. But an actor wouldn't be as sloppy as this dude, you know? So anyway, so he did like a longer interview with Colin Moriarty, right, over at Last Stand Media. Like, it was about an hour long, and then he did another one with Destin, I don't know how to say his name, but Destin from IGN, 30-minute interview, right?
Gary?
Lestin Lagari, yeah, that dude, you know? Yeah. By the way, he gets so much shit on Twitter, I'm like, I don't know why this guy's so unassuming, you know? But
oh,
people,
Destin?
Yeah, Destin, yeah.
Well, he's got his YouTube channel.
Yeah, that's he does, yeah.
And a lot of people, you know, they to poo-poo on him because he's given a different
opinion. That's not the guy who plagiarized the
battle. No, that guy's gone. That guy's gone.
He's all right.
I got nothing on the Xbox.
Long time IGN.
Yeah, but anyway, so Hassan came out And the interviews were extremely interesting. Like, this guy that, you know, we're going to go into it, but this guy basically was stumbling over his words. He was, it seemed like he was just rambling. And then if you listen to both interviews,
the fake games.
Yeah, right? The abandoned. Adam, I don't know if you saw, but like, if you watch both interviews, he contradicts himself. He says shit in one interview that's the opposite in the other. So it's like the way, specifically the Colin one, because Colin was asking him harder questions, right? He was just dodging and weaving like crazy, specifically when it came to the budgeting of the game, right?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Which, that's the most important.
Yeah, like there was this one part, Colin flat out asked him, who's funding this game? Where are you getting your money from? And he goes on for like 10 minutes about the story. He didn't ask about the story, bruh. You know, so yeah, let's get into it, man, because I call BS on this dude. I think he, as a matter of fact, this is for you old school. And Carlos, I need you here for this one. You know, and Brian could back it up, though. This guy reminds me of, from the old Warzone days, Fat Anorexic. Remember this?
Oh,
dude?
Yeah.
Okay, for you guys who don't know, right, back in the day, there was this guy that was on the Warzone podcast. That's where Torrance, and, you know, that Torrance hosted it. That's where I met Carlos and Brian. Shut the fuck up and play after that. So this dude, for how long did this shit go on? For like a year, right?
Years, man.
Years.
They even met in real life.
Yeah, so this dude was on the podcast all the time talking about how he was a game developer and how he was making a PlayStation exclusive. Doesn't that sound familiar, right? For years, right? And we believed him, right? We believed this guy. Turned out he was a fucking fake, right? So this Hassan thing just gives me the vibes of Fat Anorexic. By the way, whatever happened to Fat Anorexic? Like, again, people met this guy in real life, and he was just going on and on about this. But that's the vibes I got from it. And Carlos, I know you got about like halfway through each of them before you were like, fuck this guy's full of shit.
He's a charlatan. He's either a charlatan or he's one of those people. Like, have you guys seen, you know, and I talked about this, you know, when I was with Tony, you know, we're hanging out with his buddy, yep, Jeff, and I mentioned Fire Festival. I don't know if you guys have heard of Fire Festival. It's a dude where everything is falling apart. He doesn't know what he's doing. He's oblivious to surroundings and everything, and he still believes in what he's trying to sell. And
I ruined. He had big names behind it, though. And this dude, I think he had anybody behind it, but he had that. Was it Sony that promoted him?
Sony promoted him. Like, what is it? One of the companies I worked with, Halo, is behind us. Like, he has a bunch of big name studios supposedly helping him out, right?
He has a bunch of outsourced companies.
Yeah.
I mean, I have some experience with this sort of idea, what he was saying in there. Like, you say that he gave a big story. I mean, as far as studios go, you can't, as an independent studio, you don't always need to have a full in-house team, and you can outsource a lot of your art and art asset creation to studios like the one that Sony that Hassan is connected to. So what, you know, and from what he said, like in the interview, you know, that they have special prices for, you know, for people that are not like top of the food chain. So I'm guessing, you know, you could be like, you know, it's kind of like you go into some place like, oh, you know, we like your idea, we really want to work, and they sort of kajigger a pricing and man hours and sort of that stuff. So I don't see that as anything that's too far fetched. It doesn't make any sense for anybody who doesn't know that sort of stuff happens, but in the industry, that's how a lot of these larger games get filled out, where they hire these different companies to sort of create art assets, to create a bunch of different stuff, to sort of alleviate whatever internal team from doing that sort of stuff. So they may have, granted, we don't know how many people Hassan has on staff. Like, they keep fluctuating numbers, and they say there's just people there, but we don't know.
And then he says people are there, like, on their own volition and during their off hours.
I call BS on all that. And here's the thing. I like the fact, just give me a second here. I like the fact that Colin was interviewing, because Colin's actually doing his own independent game, so he understands how some of these things work. So he was like, because he asked him, like, how much does it cost? And Hassan is like, $30,000. I'm sorry. No way you spent $30,000 on all this. You know, I like, again, I'm not a game developer or anything, but even Kyle was like, you realize you're dealing with studios that charged millions of dollars, right? So I don't know, man.
Well, the thing again, it's not necessarily a case. Like, you know, obviously it's kind of like the way certain other companies, like I can't remember what their names are, but they'll have like the big budget price if they're working with a big company, and then they'll have like a smaller budget for a smaller company. So, but the thing is that it still doesn't explain how Hassan is able to keep his studio running after having no actual releases.
Yeah,
and we got to preface this by saying studio in quotes, because honestly, it's I feel like it's him, maybe another guy,
I agree.
Random people popping in and out, just helping out. And it honestly, and by the way, he's by the way, he's a huge PlayStation fanboy. That's something that I did get from the interview. He said, "Oh, the reason why we're doing PlayStation, because this is a PlayStation game made for by a PlayStation gamer for PlayStation gamers." And then he said, "The SSD it's the only one that can run his game," or something like that, or what his vision of his game. And I'm like, yeah, shut the fuck up, bro.
How did he explain his Nintendo tattoo on his neck? Like, did he cover it?
No, but hold on. Go ahead, Brian.
Okay. Funny thing about that part as well is that he said that like his game fits very well on the PlayStation platform. You know, it's like the home of survival horror games. I'm just like, there hasn't been a good survival horror game on a PlayStation console for years, and like the whole PS4 gen, there was nothing. So, like, even
that's wrong. There was one game. You know, I remember when the PS4 first came out, there were like a lot of those type of games, but you're right, after that, just trickled off. There was one that came out when PS4 first launched. It was a free game you could download. It was like you were stuck in like a psychiatric ward or some shit. They even made a sequel to it. Amnesia.
Evil Within.
There was not called Within. Daylight or something like that.
Evil Within was good.
No, it wasn't that.
Condemned from back in the day.
Either way, like the point that I'm trying to make is, like, if you're trying to make a survival horror game, then you'd put on a platform that kept survival horror alive all these years, which is on the PC.
Yeah,
like,
that's true.
Where Amnesia came out. That's what popularized the inspiration for PT. You can't even say anything about that. Outlast.
Yeah,
also came out on PC as well. They made a sequel. Sequel was trash. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it was just really funny, that part. And then like he went on and talked about how he plans to put it on PC eventually. It's like, but you never said any of this anywhere. So yeah, it's just
I need to jump on that, because that was the first point, right? In the Colin one, he goes, this is a PlayStation exclusive made for PlayStation. The Destin one, he's like, yeah, we're going to have it on PC. I'm like, okay, that's interesting. Because then you say that only PS5 could do this, that, and the other thing with the SSD. Kind of interesting, right? And then the other thing that stuck out to me, Colin flat out goes, there is no way you're making this game on Unreal Engine 5. Hassan didn't say shit. Kept quiet, right? He kept quiet and didn't say nothing. In the Destin interview, twice, he goes, we're running this on Unreal Engine 5. So if you're running it on Unreal Engine 5 and someone says you're not, wouldn't you call him? I go, no, we actually are. What's up with that?
Well,
you know,
I mean, that also may be something too, where there might be something keeping, because if you remember, there were a lot of people that were sort of wishy-washy as to whether their games were running on Unreal 5.
Yeah, but until, the interview were like a day apart, like a couple of days apart, so things just changed.
You got to realize all the Unreal shit just recently came out. Unreal just came out officially like not too long ago, so. Like, literally within the days that Hassan
Why didn't he say, oh, no, we were not on Unreal 5 originally, but now that it's out, we are using it. You know what I'm saying? And he could have easily said, Colin, we want to run on Unreal Engine 5. He could have said stayed quiet, again, you know?
Again, it seemed like in a lot of, he was not sure of things that he could say and what things he couldn't say. You know,
because he was making shit up as he went along. That's why.
No, I read a lot of it as being nervous as to what things he could say and not say, because you have to be very careful when it comes to game development and saying what things that you have attachments to. So I can understand why he's a little bit confused.
Why did he decide to talk about this now? Do these interviews?
I think he's losing luster. Yeah. He this guy's unhinged. He has to be.
He's losing luster. He's trying to seize the moment. He's got the hype for his title. He might get funding from a dumbass that doesn't know anything about video game creation. And by the way, this whole he's thinking about what he's saying, what he can say, he can't say. I call shenanigans on that because he mentioned that they are not explicitly they are not partnering with Sony, and that that's mm-hmm. fully funded by them. They're independent, and he's the CEO of the studio. And the whole thing with I watched the Colin Moriarty interview first, and then I watched the Dustin interview second. The mm-hmm. Dustin interview, I'm like, I watched half of it because the part where he lost me was when he was talking about his previous games, and he said, "Oh, we developed two games. I forgot what it was. There was forgot the name of the survival or horror game. I don't know what the hell it was, but." He said, "Oh, the reason why we made the games for mobile and we took them out because at the time the cell phones couldn't handle my game." That's what he said. The freaking things couldn't handle his game.
Yeah, and I'm like, that was bullshit.
That's fucking bullshit. You don't develop a mobile game and it's like, "Oh, the game has to fit like the system has to fit my software." It's the other way around, especially when you're an indie studio.
I think in a lot of ways, I think he has the dream of wanting to make a game, but I think he doesn't actually know the part of, you know, all that needs to go into the creation of that, of a game. I think he might be hiring out people to essentially make his ideas, but he is not able to implement them. Granted, Colin did say he was active on the Unreal forums or something like that and helping people with that. But I don't think he has the ability to make a game. I think he's just kind of has all these different things around him, and maybe his funding person that he can't mention is essentially just feeding money to him. That's the one part I consider weird, because it's like they said he had a Kickstarter, and that this person contacted him and said, "I want to make your game," but like that was years ago.
Yeah,
didn't why he say is this he returned the money from the Kickstarter?
And then the other thing, the other thing is that the game is also being developed by another studio. Like the game that was supposed to be the Kickstarter game got transferred to another studio. He said he would explain that later. He didn't explain it.
Yeah.
It's just a lot of mysterious, weird bullshit that's going on with him. He's either the worst game developer on the planet who can't get anything together, or he's something else. And I think that's part of the reason why people think he's like a Kojima surrogate, because he's so inept, it seems like he's fake.
Yeah, and like, because obviously English is not his first language, right? But at the same time, you know, he speaks it eloquently enough where you could tell you understand what's going on here. I don't know, man. Again, none of this adds up at all. None of it. You know, and then, you know, I said this on Twitter. I think Sony needs to start answering questions, man. Like, they've had this guy apparently partnered with them for like 6 years now. Are they not asking him where the game is? You know, like what's going on here? So I think at this point, Hassan, he's not going to provide you any straight answers. This dude, in my opinion, is fucking lying. I don't believe a word he says. So let's talk to Sony, because obviously they have a partnership with of some kind. The trailer was on their website. Let's talk to Sony. Let's get some answers, because this guy's full of shit. This guy, I remember I said this guy's like a worse version of Sean Murray. Carlos correctly said, no, that's insulting to Sean Murray, because at least Sean Murphy delivered in the end. You know, even in the beginning, he still delivered a game. It wasn't what you wanted. And eventually he gave you what people expected. You know, No Man's Sky, for you guys not keeping track.
Yeah, well, I mean, he made a lot of promises. But at the same time, eventually all those promises were met. All those things that he mentioned, you know, multiplayer and all the, you know, connected worlds and all that. So eventually came to it, though. I definitely think I remember even back then I was calling them like a little bit of those out. I'm like, How is an independent studio going to do all of this in one release?
But he had money. He had a lot of money because of Joe Danger. That was an awesome game. It was on every platform. It was on the Vita, you name it, the phones. So when he started saying all that craziness, I'm like, well, that sounds ambitious, and but then, you do have money.
Then seeing how big his team was only like 10 guys.
People. Yeah, it was like 16.
It was like nothing. It wasn't like you're telling me, and they even said it in the interviews, like 16 guys are going to make a crazy-ass huge game, and they're like, oh, no, it's procedural. It's magic, you know?
Yeah. At least with him, it was like he just said yes to everything that he was asked. He just said yes to everything.
Like, and here again, we have Hassan talking about a Mystic Ware game, which has a thing that hasn't. Why is the only reason why he's getting any sort of attention out of this is because everybody thought he was a Kojima surrogate.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's the only thing I believe, that he is not tied with Kojima at all.
No, he's not. I don't think he's tied with Kojima. But the thing is. It's like it's either like he's one of those people that has enough money to fail upward, where he just continuously.
Did he talk about that? Does he have like where is he getting money from? Did he say?
No, he says he can't talk about it, which I found suspicious. You know,
maybe Carlos's theory is right.
Maybe, yeah.
I think here's the thing. Oil. Like, if you're, I think, you could be oil.
That's what I think. I think Hassan's funder is him. That's what I think.
I mean, it could be that situation where he could have so much money that he could just throw money. Like, it doesn't make any sense to me that this guy of all guys who hasn't released anything manages to get Unreal 5 to essentially have something going on with Sony, have them feature the title on their site, which they do feature other things.
Yeah.
But there's nothing about this that says anything. It's almost like a Logan Paul situation where he has so much money, he can just walk. He just has fuck you money to walk in the room and be like, you know, yeah, I'm making a game.
Yeah, but again, it's like Shuhei Yoshida, he is technically in charge of indies at Sony, right? I think he may need to say something, man, because this is crazy.
I mean, the only reason this guy is featured is because he throws money at Sony.
That's the only explanation. That's the only explanation. I can't parse any of this. None of this makes any fucking sense. You know,
it's a friend of a friend who's doing a favor. It could be something like that, and maybe that's why Sony.
I don't think so. Yeah, that favor would wear out. Like the number of misfires this guy's had, that favor would wear out. There's got to be money involved.
Well, that's what I mean. That it's embarrassing on the part of Sony.
It is, and this is why they need to answer. Like, you know,
like maybe if we just ignore it, we'll
see. I will say this, and Manny, I think, brought up the best sort of scenario here, and that's the fact that it's a dude who loves video games that wants to create his own video game, and he has no freaking clue how to lead a studio, how to develop a game. He found this freaking meme hype thing. He went viral, essentially, and he's trying to grasp at every single part of this hype in order to sustain something. You know, he wants to be relevant. He wants, maybe he can get money off of this. Maybe something can happen. Get him in with the right people. I think that's what he wants to do.
But so then if that's the case, did he talk about a website, a GoFundMe, a way to...
No, nothing. Yeah, he has a website, but no.
They have a website, but it's very mysterious because it only mentions, they say, maybe a few people by name.
So then how? That's why it throws a curveball.
That's what I'm saying.
Of like, oh, he's doing this for money. Well, usually they make it very accessible for people to send the money, and it doesn't seem like that's a process.
No, I don't. No, he's not doing this for money.
I don't think he's doing it for
money. He's not doing it for money. I agree that I think this guy, I do believe this guy actually does want to make a video game. I'll give him that. Right, it's just the way he's doing it is so sloppy and crazy. But again, I just can't get over this whole Sony connection. How are they letting this go like for 6 years?
Right,
I'm serious right now. Like Shuhei, what's up? You know,
well, this guy's dancing in a dangerous legal gray area because you have if you had people pissed off enough, what if they just decided to sue Sony for false advertising and fraud?
That's right.
What are you going to say? Then you get him in a courtroom and you have discovery. Then you'll find out where the money comes from.
Yeah, because that's the thing I want to know. Like, where is this money coming from? Who is funding you? And in typical places...
Go ahead, Brett. I just got to ask the question.
Yeah.
I know money talks and bullshit walks and all that good stuff, but, like, does this guy... Like, Sony is a international corporation. Like, is there enough money that you could throw at them to make them act like this is a company?
That's a great question. Exactly. Exactly. How is Sony letting this? Like, yeah, how much money can this dude or his funder theoretically give Sony to make it worth their while? Right? 6 years this has been going on. You know?
I can't see it. Yeah, like it's... Here's the thing that I do see, though. Like, I constantly see his games coming up in situations where titles are needed. But you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like
no.
Droughts and launches and things like that.
But here's the thing, Brett, and I should have prefaced this. 6 years and just as many games that have not come out. He's never released a single game.
So I know that, but like, when you're padding announcements and saying, like, oh, we're going to have all these games, like, one of his games just kind of seems to, you know, be there. So maybe the motivation there on Sony's part isn't necessarily financial as much as it is to pad their library.
I don't know if they could do that. I don't know, man.
They've done that.
Have they?
Yeah. Like, when that's what I'm saying. Like, when you see games like slated to come out, his games are like in that pile of things coming out that they're, you know, gonna, you know, show the worst support.
I have a question. I don't think that any of these previous games have been advertised.
His games has never been advertised.
This is the first one. Yeah.
This is the first one that has been, this is the first one that has gotten any sort of legitimate advertising when it was on the PlayStation site. All his games have just...
Yeah,
just
Sony has never promoted his games before. Radar. Yeah. Just get that clear, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought this was the second time. That's my bad.
No.
It is the second or third time because he kept restarting development
but this is the first time Sony was actually promoting it, right? Isn't that how it is, man? Yeah. With this game, with Abandoned, but his like previous five games or whatever, they were never released. Sony never promoted them.
They were never released. One of them was a Kickstarter that has essentially been moved to another company. You know, so it's like it doesn't make any sort of sense.
So I got a dumb question. I'm sorry I came in late. Are we talking about this again or still then?
No, we're talking about it again, Brett. He did two interviews, and Brett, I guess you didn't catch the videos I tossed in.
I saw those. Okay, yeah. I wasn't following along in the conversation. I was like, I'm not understanding the tie here. Okay, so this is relevant because of the videos.
Yes, gotcha. Yes, exactly. Okay, yeah, and again, just the fact that he's contradicting himself. He says one thing in one video and says a completely different thing in another video. You know, and just the fact that he can't answer basic questions. You know, and the whole stutter. Like, I understand. Yeah, maybe you're nervous or whatever, right? Although I noticed he wasn't as nervous around Destin as he was with Colin, you know. But you know, I guess that makes sense. Colin's asking questions.
He's clearly a pathological liar.
Absolutely.
I'm not saying that like to be edgy or anything. Like, I mean that like everybody knows that friend who just fucking lies, right? And you're like, why? There's no. Maybe they don't. Maybe not everybody does, but a lot of people know somebody who just fucking lies. And you're not sure, like, is this a prestige thing? Like, why did you tell the girl at the fucking Circle K that you own a Lamborghini? Like, why? First of all, who would even believe that? Like, there's no way she believes that. She was just being polite. Well, like, second, you don't have a Lamborghini to show off. What?
It would be one thing if he was just completely independent and he was just making up bullshit, right?
Yeah.
Like, he was bullshitting about these games for years and years. Wasn't featured by Sony, none of that. That would be a different story. Oh, but they are featuring his bullshit, right? So what is that about? Like, that's if you take the guy you're talking about, your buddy who says that he has a Lamborghini when he doesn't have it, and then all of a sudden the local newspaper prints like, oh shit, so-and-so bought a new Lamborghini. It's like, wait a minute, this is all fake. Hell,
yeah, exactly. That's why we need Sony to answer, because you're right.
Low news day, man.
I don't know, man. But again, none of this tracks, you know. And I'm kind of with Carlos on this. I think this guy's going to show up again in a few months because he needs that attention. You know, he's going to pop up again somewhere. Well,
so at the end, what was the end?
There is no end result.
He has a date for the game.
No,
He had something to show off to prove.
Even the thing that was going to come didn't come. Like, the app was supposed to be available just about immediately, and then there was supposed to be some other shit that was out by now. So, like, he's already well behind the curve with several failed promises.
To be fair, again, I say to be fair, he did say, and this is something that we should hold him to, that this year he will be releasing the prologue, and it'll be a standalone game. Less than $60, and it will come with its own trophies this year.
Yeah, he did say that. We'll see about that.
That is what he said. So As always, we shall hold him to that and wait and see. And if he delivers, then we can judge it on that. If he doesn't, then I think it's fair to say that he's full of shit.
Brian, agreed. I agree with Brian.
The thing that gets me is that this prologue is not even the game itself. So to me, it's kind of like a Metal Gear Solid 5 Ground Zero type
PT.
Thing. Where it's like PT.
It's
like a slice of the game before the game. So it should not take as long to make by definition.
I got a prediction.
Uh-oh. Miss Cleo, let's go.
Cleo.
This game or whatever Brian is mentioning, the prologue or whatever this thing is, it's going to get delayed to next year. And it's gonna and Hassan's mm-hmm. gonna say because of the fucking Rona, I guarantee you.
Whoa, what?
No, I guarantee you. No, I'm gonna go. I'm agree with you, but take it to another direction.
Oh,
he's gonna say this game was delayed because of the harassment we've been getting. Because remember, he was playing that angle up at mm-hmm. the end. You know, you didn't get that far, but at the end with the Colin interview, he was just saying, "Oh yeah, this is hard. This has been so difficult. You know, things have been delayed because of the harassment, all this shit." So I think he's not gonna blame Barone. He's gonna blame the harassment. I think that's what he's gonna do. You know,
well, that's a good point. I didn't see that part of the interview. So yeah, that's because I'm just seeing what the angle is. To take in order to get the most sympathy from people, and the Rona is the easy one.
Oh, well, I'm going to piggyback off Tony's.
Go ahead.
I'm looking at the crystal ball. He's going to say this game never came because of the harassment, and he's going to bow out of the industry, and that's going to be his out.
I could believe that. I could believe that.
It's just a toxic place. He can't work here anymore. It's our fault that the game isn't coming, and he's just going to quit.
No, and again, if you saw the end of the Colin, when he spent 5 minutes just talking about that, trying to gain sympathy, that's what's going to happen. Watch. Throwdown calls it, you know? It's fucking insane. This whole situation is absolutely ridiculous, you know?
Where is he based out of?
He based out of the Netherlands, I believe. Holland, one of those fucking countries, you know?
Yeah, I agree up to he's going to bow the industry. I don't know. I remember who said that he likes the... He's just going to do this over again.
Oh, okay. So you think he's not going to bow
out? Just because you bow out of the industry doesn't mean you can't make a courageous return 6 months later.
Yeah, so courageous when you fucking quit. Oh, I'm being harassed. All right, bitch.
Fucking grifter, man. I swear. You know? All right. I guess until next time, you know, this guy pops up, we don't need to speak of him. But again, it's just insane because this guy was doing an interview. So I'm like, okay, let's see what he has to say. He was just talking in fucking circles. Like Manny said, this guy said a lot without saying anything, you know?
He literally says a bunch of stuff and doesn't say anything. There's nothing, like there's only, the only answers that you can surmise out of that is, I am not involved with Kojima or Konami.
Yeah, that's the only
thing. All that got me was just how often he would answer a question with, oh, sorry, that's under NDA, so I can't talk about that.
Yeah, get out of here with that bullshit, you know?
And then straight after one of those times he said that, he even said that, oh, yeah, he doesn't know what he can and can't say. So,
you're
so
the like, CEO. So then, I did not know.
You should know. If you usually that sort of stuff is within your contract work. And if anything, if he needs a reminder, just post it on the wall. Post-it note. Don't say this shit.
Yeah, but he runs the company. He sets the policy. There's no thing he should not understand what he can and can't say. That's ridiculous.
Well, I mean, he shouldn't be a person that says, I don't know if I can say this. I mean, yes, you signed the contracts. If you're the CEO of the company, you should be able to do it. And if you can't trust yourself, you should be hiring a media person to essentially be the one that looks out for this shit. Yeah. And says, no. You can't say that. Even Kojima had people like that.
Yeah.
You know?
Right. And every company, even mid-sized or large-sized company, you hire legal counsel.
Yeah.
And on their advice, you would say, on the advice of my counsel, I'm not going to answer that. Like, I have strict things that I can and can't talk to by our legal department. Okay. That's acceptable. You say that. You can't say, I'm under NDA. You create the NDA. You can't say, like, you set the rules. You can't say, I don't know what I can talk about.
Yeah, it's like, who is he answering to? He's answering to himself, you know?
If you're making a deal, like, a special deal with Unreal, there are certain things that you can't say, which is in the contract. Either you're not looking at your contract, which you should.
Oh, my God.
Because you should be able to know what things are. Again, and if you do have...
You'd have to be consistent. You can't go on one interview and say you're using Unreal Engine 5 and then tell somebody else you don't know if you could talk about it. doesn't make sense.
I think the Unreal 5 thing, that probably has to do with that announcement that came out during the week. So he was probably more able to talk about it because the Unreal was released to the general public.
Yeah, I'm not buying that.
There was a point that people were, you know, they were tap dancing around. A lot of companies were tap dancing around the whether or not they were using Unreal 5. And then once the floodgates opened, then they all started, oh, yes, we're working on Unreal 5 stuff.
Yeah, I'm not giving him that benefit of the doubt. I think he's just full of shit, making stuff up as he goes along, you know?
By the way, Brett, I said
the same thing. This guy's a pathological liar. I don't believe a fucking thing he says, man.
Here's the thing, though. Like, who does this hurt? Because nobody's actually bought any sort of product yet.
Oh, it's not about being hurt. It's just like, again, it's just insane because we've all been following games our entire lives. We've never seen anything like this ever.
No.
It's not that, obviously, no one's being hurt, right? But it's just fascinating because we've never seen anything like this.
Yeah, it's the amount of attention he's getting for producing nothing.
Nothing, exactly. So obviously the story is worth talking about because it's just like we've never seen this before.
It begs the question. It's like, where is this person coming from? Like,
yeah, that's what I want to know.
Could he just be a huge elaborate AR? You know,
I'm hoping that when it does get announced and it has the same title, it's actually a movie, a weird spoof documentary type thing of how to con, you know, the industry or something like that.
Yeah, all I'm saying is, you know, if you get, and again, the games are on record. This is not like something somebody made up on Reddit. Like, even though it was discovered by a Redditor, they did a good job of, because all this shit is public record. It's like, okay, so five or six failed games. I don't believe this game's coming out either. Just given that track record, I don't believe this shit for a second. But I'll believe it when I see it. But right now, I call bullshit on all this stuff, you know? And it's amazing to me that Sony's just letting this go. You know, billion-dollar company or whatever. It's just, okay, fine. We'll take a couple of dollars from you. Something's up. Something is up, you know? Anyway, I think we're done talking about Hassan for now. So we'll move on to less contentious things, man. Xbox, the brand that Adam has re-fallen in love with, will hold its E3 event this year in June. And the reason I want to bring this up is because I want to ask the obvious question. Besides Starfield, what the fuck are they going to show at this thing?
Surprises. But we know what they're definitely not going to show because it just got confirmed with that Unreal 5. Gears, man. Gears got pushed back. Gears ain't coming this year. 2023 now.
Coming away.
Yeah, no, give them some time to make a good game.
I mean, it looked amazing. It looked amazing when they showed it with the Unreal 5. I mean, everything that they showed with Unreal 5 looked amazing.
Yeah, we'll get to that in a bit. But
yo, Tony.
Yeah, what's up?
I know what they're going to show.
What they're going to show?
They're going to show the game that everyone's been waiting on and waiting to see and finally play.
Abandoned?
Usual Frenzy?
Carlos.
Table Tennis 2?
Carlos, are you there? Or are you?
Okay. He's muted.
Maybe, Carlos is busy. Halo Infinite.
Oh, damn!
they should. Oh, you know what? He's not.
Yeah, man. Co-op, you know?
Yeah, co-op, man. Co-op needs. Finish the fight.
Redfall and Forza. Yeah, you guys in the chat are giving us some good answers right now. stated K3 didn't actually get delayed.
Well, all these studios, like you always say, it's got to have something.
You always say that. What are you talking about?
No, Carlos
they always say it.
So then he says it. With some Carlos says.
He blames Carlos for his words.
Because he says it now. I don't say it anymore.
Yeah. Say you used to say it, motherfucker.
I know, but if you take ownership of it and you keep going, just like when somebody dies, Rodney Dangerfield died, can you still say his jokes? So listen, this is what I'm saying. Is that all these studios are definitely working on it, and they have at least close to finish or something.
We don't know that. That's what I'm saying.
Something has to be announced from someone. You can't have all these studios and all of them say, 2023 to 2020. That's kind of crazy if you think about how long he's owned some of these studios.
Yeah, but Adam, think about what happened last year. Every game that was supposed to come out last year, not every game, but a good chunk of games that was supposed to come out last year are now coming out this year. So it can happen, you know?
But that's, you just said it. Games that got pushed from last year said this year. So this would be the year that a lot of these games.
We'll see. I don't know, man. I wouldn't be surprised, like, oh, we got to delay shit again, you know? I don't want that to happen, obviously, but I think that's, you know, I'm not saying it is going to happen. I'm saying, don't discount it. You never know. As far as I'm concerned, every game's delayed until proven otherwise, you know? But
you're delayed until proven guilty.
Yeah, but obviously Starfield. As a matter of fact, Manny and I were talking about it before. It's probably going to be another Xbox Bethesda event. That's what they called it last time. You know, so Starfield's obviously going to be the big mamma jamma game. You know.
One thing I don't think we're going to probably see is that much clarity as far as the Activision acquisition.
Yeah, I agree.
That's still in the process. You know, they're still probably being reviewed.
Yeah.
And, you know, we also had a bunch of politicians, you know, like Bernie Sanders and such saying, you know.
Boy,
it's three out of the ridiculous amount that's in it. You know how this whole thing works. You grease the pockets.
Mm-hmm. But, they're not greasing my pockets enough.
Exactly. It's like we need some new playgrounds. You put the playgrounds in, you can get your.
But I think possibly Bethesda's Starfield will probably be the biggest one because coming out this year.
Yeah, it? November. What day is that again? 11th or 17th? One of those days. Somebody in the chat lets me know. But yeah, so Starfield obviously the big one. But I was just wondering about what else is going to be there. But Brian, I agree with you. I think they are going to show Halo Infinite.
But you know what? I'm glad that I don't know. I want surprises. That's something we don't have thanks to the internet. We have no.
Well, then again, this is Microsoft. Things are going to probably be spilled next month.
That's what I'm saying. That's what it's always we find out either like an hour or two before it gets announced. Oh, man, that's why I hate the internet sometimes. I'm spilling all this shit. I don't want to know. I want that feeling of what we used to have when it's like, oh, what's this? Oh, I didn't know. I didn't get that latest episode of Game Pro. I didn't know this shit was happening. You know, it's like those days are over.
Yeah, you could unlock Shenlong in Street Fighter. Oh, man. All right, anything else you guys want to say about Microsoft, Xbox, you know, predictions?
Well, there was that leak, and I think it's still there. I don't know if it was on the Game Pass site, and they posted on the website for a little bit, and then they removed it, but it had some of the Call of Duty titles coming to Game Pass. It was some of the older ones. So if that happens, that'll be great, because then it puts more fuel to the fire that this deal is coming close to happening. And it happened with Bethesda. We started seeing a lot more Bethesda games before that deal got finalized.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, we'll see, man. All right, moving on here. Adam, I'm glad you're here for this one, man. Did you hear the good news?
About the Division?
No, not
good
the
news,
Division.
Everyone!
About Valve increasing Steam Deck shipments, man. It's happening.
We'll see when we get the that email.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You better get the email. You're going to get the email all of us.
I'm looking forward to that. I already know what I'm loading on there. RetroPie on there. I sent out the video, so the guide how to do it.
Right.
I can't wait. That's gonna have all the emulation. That's pretty much everything that I set up on my Raspberry Pi and the other one.
Yeah,
I'll be able to run.
Nice. Awesome. Yeah. So I'm gonna read this as a tweet.
And does Dreamcast?
Ooh, good.
And Sega CD and all.
Oh shit. It says, welcome to Q2. We've just sent out the first set of order emails to Q2 reserves in order of reservation time. Starting today, that was April 4th. We're ramping up Steam Deck shipments and we'll be sending out more order availability emails next week. Sometimes even twice a week. Ooh, fancy.
Sometimes.
Yeah, so that's good. Yeah, because normally they were going to send out the emails once a week, but sometimes they'll send twice a week. So I got my emails ready.
Is Gavin sending out the emails?
Yeah, Gavin, right? So pretty exciting stuff. You know, we're all waiting for our Steam Decks. So good.
Wait, are they done with the first wave? That's the question. Are they done with first wave or are they still fulfilling?
Oh, that's a good question. I don't know.
Because I didn't see any mention of that. Yes, it's great. You want stuff ramping, but are you really ramping or are you just catching up?
Yeah. By the way, just going back to the previous segment, see, when I say that's a good question, it's because I legitimately think it's a good question. When Hassan says it, it's like, oh, fuck, they caught me. He notices that. Oh, that's a good question. That's a good question. That's a good question. All right, bro. Anyway.
I was like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, what are you talking about?
Come on,
I'm from Long Island.
Tell me about this game, bro.
You know, Adam, you bring up a good point. I don't see a lot of people talking about their Steam Decks, like, you know, actual customers. Kind of interesting.
That's all because they're all under NDA.
No, the regular dude. Yeah, like Hassan, right?
That's why it's like
we don't know what they can talk about.
You know,
I don't hear of everybody saying that. Oh, I'm first wave, and I still haven't received them. So I first wave fulfilled, and they're pushing.
I don't know.
Or are they still team? We don't know.
Yeah.
So we won't know until we start getting those emails. So if anybody here or in the chat, your second wave, you get an email, or if you're in first wave and you still haven't received any.
Yeah. Where it was first wave people at. Because remember, even Gabe Newell went to people's houses giving them Steam Decks. So they're out there. It's just, I don't see a lot of people talking about it. You know?
Santa Gaben.
To your house. He even looks like Santa Claus, you know, with the beard. You know, let's just be real here. You know, he's built like Santa. Let's just be honest. You know,
like,
but yeah, you know, we await with bated breath. We don't know when the fuck this shit's coming, but it's good that they're increasing it's shipments. Gonna
come. And you know what? Yeah. It's I'm glad actually that I'm, because now I get to see all the development and all the other stuff that people were figuring out and the issues with the drift that was happening. Remember, but it was all the stuff they could fix with the software. Go ahead, iron all that out. So, and I went, well, we get it with the firmware update on it, because it's going to be an update out. It's good to go, and we won't have any. I'm fine waiting. I'm in no rush.
Yeah. All right, man. Moving on. Let's talk. Okay. So the Coalition, not the website, the company, they are not working on, or they're not releasing Gears, but they are working on a new IP. Very interesting, Adam. What do you think about that?
I'm excited, and I'm trying to figure out exactly if it's a new IP or it's a new IP within the Gears universe. Because remember, the Coalition was strictly developed just for Gear IP, just for their property. We got Tactics, we got that little, the mobile game that they did for a little bit, this Gear Mobile. And so, of course, Gears proper. So we'll see. We'll see what happens.
Oh, this is interesting. I'm reading this from a Game Rant. It says, apparently the team, the Coalition, is not only working on a new installment in the Gears franchise, helping 343 Industries with Halo Infinite. I didn't know that.
Well,
interesting.
They obviously needed a lot of help, and they lost a bunch of people. So.
Yeah. They're also working on an Xbox Star Wars game. I didn't know that either.
So then if that's the case, then yeah, this most likely is just going to be another.
It says a new IP. It says a new IP. This is coming from our boy Jeff Grubb on his podcast. The third item on the Coalition's to-do list is probably a long way from release, so not coming anytime soon. But it's another project that will further expand. Oh, Adam, you're right. It's just going to expand. The way they wrote it, it made it seem like it's another Gears game. No, it's not. It's just new IP. All right, interesting. You know?
Well, yeah, looking forward to it.
I agree. I want to see them and 343 do other games just beside whatever Microsoft assigned to them, you know? I'll read what Jeff Grubb said here. He goes, now I've heard rumors that it could be a Star Wars thing from out of the Coalition, but I haven't been able to confirm that, and there are rumors that have been kicked around a few different places, so it's hard to track down. Basically, I'm not putting any money on that, but the Coalition is working on a third thing, so we'll see what that turns into. It's probably still quite a ways off, and whether that comes out before new Gears, I don't know. Maybe it's in the prototype phase, but they are considering something new. Cool.
It's gotta be something after Gears, because this Gears has been in development for a while, and then now that we know that it's being pushed to 2023 and it's doing Unreal 5 and all that stuff before, but that's got to be the priority, right? Gears, that's your.
I think so. I think we'll get Gears first, because I mean, he even said this thing's way out, you know. So
yeah,
they're gonna finish Gears first, especially if it was supposed to come out this year, right? So
that's it. The 3-year cycle, and then they said they were like, "Yeah, we're working. We're close to hitting our deadline. We're working on Unreal 5, and then they're building on Unreal 5."
Actually,
you know what? Early this week, we get that announcement.
That's fucking tight, man. So that's cool. You know, looking forward to it. All right, the next thing I have here on the agenda is speaking about the Coalition. They released an Unreal Engine 5 video, which I'm gonna watch live along with you guys. Did you see it, Adam?
I saw some of it.
I'm looking now, so I wish I could screen share, but as I've said before, you know, I'm just watching this now. The most exciting thing I saw before Next Gen came out was that original Unreal Engine 5 video. That got me more excited than anything.
It looks amazing.
Yeah.
It looks like this is what we should have.
Look at this. This is fucking gorgeous. By the way, the dude they showed in this video looked like, what's his face from The Order 1886. Very interesting.
Galahad.
Yeah, he looked like Galahad. He has the same kind of, you know, 1880s mustache. Look
Are
at this.
Are you talking
shit.
About the State of Unreal?
No, the cavern cinema. Chris.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Because I know there was a State of Unreal.
No, I didn't see that, but I do know what you're talking about. This guy looks like Galahad.
Tim Sweeney did the presentation.
Yeah. I didn't get to see that. This dude straight up looks like Galahad. Holy shit!
What are you talking about?
We're talking about.
I'm coming back.
Oh, look at this. This engine is going to be insane. It's going to be unreal.
When's the new Unreal game coming out?
Thanks, folks. Oh, have a good night.
Never. Yeah, that's. Oh my God. Yeah, right. we're here every Saturday and Sunday.
What was it?
No, we're here Thursdays and Sundays.
No, Manny, you got the new Unreal game. It's called Fortnite.
By the way,
what is it?
Go ahead.
I mean, it is
that. That's Unreal 5 as well. Yeah. By the way, interesting thing about Fortnite. Correct me if I'm wrong here. So they took away the building, right? You know, the building aspect, and then they brought it back. Like what?
No, they have a battle royale mode which doesn't have the building aspect.
Yeah,
it's pretty much a player unknown battleground.
Yeah, that's right. The Matrix demo. Thank you for reminding me. Logic Wins. That was fucking insane. You know, Unreal Engine 5, and they released another video. It looked like Manny, what do you call those dolls I use to pose?
I don't know.
You know what I'm talking about. You have a
mannequin.
Yeah, pose mannequin. So it looked like a life size version of a pose mannequin, and then it was just flying across the city. Even it looked like the city from The Matrix. You know,
I mean, it's the Unreal has a lot of already built in abilities. Like in other words, you can use it to essentially quickly make a game because it already has all these different aspects in there. So there's a lot of guys that essentially make that you see like a lot of. Developers that try to make remakes of other games and just using all of the motion assets and things to sort of create these sort of little mini games.
Yeah, and also I'm just lumping this here too. The new Tomb Raider, right? The next Tomb Raider, I should say, will also be running on Unreal 5. So very exciting stuff. You know what I want them to announce that the new Final Fantasy VII remake Unreal 5 as well. You know, that'd be nuts. Like just, well,
I mean, it's probably gonna. It's definitely. If you know, Square seems to be into that pipeline. So
yeah, you're right. They have shifted games over to Unreal. You know, in the past. So, Final Fantasy 15 and Kingdom Hearts 3, to be specific. So it'd be cool. So Unreal 5. But do we know? I mean, I guess Fortnite. It's the first one, right? One of the first games that already is currently using it. It is currently using it, right? Or is it going to be?
It's using it right now.
Yeah, but obviously, a game like that's not taking advantage of the graphics. But good stuff, regardless.
Unreal.
It's unreal.
It's so unreal.
All right, next up on the agenda. Oh, this is interesting.
Sammy, what you do to yourself,
Sammy? Man, I mean, it's so real.
It's so real.
Sammy, man. Sammy Sosa, by the way. Max Payne 1 and 2 have been remade by Remedy.
Oh.
Pretty interesting. Pretty interesting.
I mean, I feel like that, I hate to say this, but I feel like, you know, Remedy has had mediocre, had very good titles, but they're not those sort of keep your studio open titles.
Until Control came out and was the biggest.
Until Control came out, but I feel like. This, you know, their last thing that they did kind of bombed, you know, the
Alan Wake remastered it.
No,
that either.
They did the story mode for this like Korean FPS game. That was
that thing bombed.
It's on Game Pass.
Crossfire X. Thank you. Yeah.
Crossfire X. It didn't do very well. And then Alan Wake. The remaster that they did,
yeah,
it did okay. It didn't do amazing. So I feel like they sort of like, you know what, let's get back into Max Payne again and do remakes of the original.
Well, what's
the
story? Because it's I read that report too. It says, oh, they made nice with Rockstar. So I didn't know there was a falling out. And two,
no, well, so, they sold it.
They sold the franchise
to Rockstar to essentially open their studio.
So then why are they involved in the remake process? Shouldn't it just be Rockstar that does it?
Well, I mean, the one that Rockstar was a part of, Max Payne 3.
Yeah,
I mean, say what you will about it. It wasn't amazing. I liked the game.
I did like it. It
was nothing on the level of the previous one.
Didn't it sell better than those previous ones, though?
Probably because it had the Rockstar name.
Yeah, I think it did. It was the most financially game of the released by them.
It's also BC. I have it. You can play it.
Yeah, because when that game came out, it was like critically praised. All the people I played it loved it. You know.
But I think that if anybody's going to be doing, you know, going to do a remake, it'd be best if it was Remedy doing it, and then some rando company, and they fuck it up. So at least they could
whoever remade the fucking GTA games, you don't want them on there.
Oh,
you know?
Oh man.
Yeah, those guys.
That's why I'm worried about Dead Space, man.
Well, see, you see, and that was a Rockstar thing. Like, what was it? The Grove Street Games, those guys doing that?
Yeah, you don't want Grove Street Games doing this shit. You know,
Games have been doing ports of those Grand Theft Auto, the previous Grand Theft Auto games for years, and every single port has been horrible.
Yeah, so it's good that Remedy's at least doing it.
Remedy's at least doing it, and they could add shit to it. That, you know, they could do all kinds of fun. And I mean, to be honest, it's a surefire. I think it's a surefire hit for them because it's like it's still within their line of you know sort of action games, but then they can actually expand on it. Now the question is, will what's his face still be the face of Max Payne though?
Oh, what's his face?
No. You're talking about Marky Mark.
Not Marky Mark.
No, not
Mark.
Him.
The guy, not him.
The creator of
because he was in the movie.
Creator, yeah.
No, not him. The creator of Max Payne, you know, Sam Lake.
Sam Lake, there you go.
He
was
the face of Max Payne in the original game.
If you look at the comic, see, it's him.
Yeah, it's him. Yeah,
yeah.
I remember because I interviewed him a couple years ago. I was like, "Yo, that's Max Payne. This is crazy," you know.
So
obviously the game's like just in the early concept, they said, so we don't have anything to say about that, but pretty cool, you know. But here's what I want to know, right? Because the big selling point of both those games was the bullet time, right? That's already been done to death for the last 20 years. So how is this game gonna really stand out, you know, in the current market?
They could expand on the story. There's a lot of things that they could do.
Yeah, but I'm saying they can't fall back on that game mechanic because that game mechanic's every game has used.
Well,
it,
they gotta,
you know.
Well, they did. I mean,
they did.
Well, they popularized it. You know, it's like every game had bullet time after that. You know,
that's the term they called it.
Yeah,
it wasn't called anything. They called it bullet time, and then that stuck. And
that was the Matrix.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, it'll be interesting. I just wonder what style they're going to do it in. You know, will it be more like Rockstar's game or what?
No, it's going to probably be in the style of whatever
Remedy currently. Yeah, that's true. That's true.
So it's going to look like as good as Alan Wake and Control.
Yeah.
I'm just expecting it to look prettier. That's it. Maybe get iron out.
Well, they said it's a remix. I'm guessing it's going to be. And I'm just using. They said remake, not remaster. Right. So I'm guessing it's going to probably be something along the lines of like the Resident Evil remakes. Yeah, in the terms of that, it's from the ground up. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, if that's the case, then yeah, you can drop the voice work and put Marky Mark in it.
You don't need Marky Mark. Why do you need Marky Mark? Man, he's trash.
I'm just saying, if they want to be consistent with it, and
consistent with nothing. That movie was garbage.
That was a 5-star movie.
No, it wasn't. That movie was trash. How to get out of here with that bullshit? That was terrible.
You should be ashamed of yourself, Adam. You should be ashamed of yourself.
Come on, now. I got the poster in the bathroom.
Oh my god, that fucking song.
Marky Mark anymore?
Yo, I'm gonna call Marky Mark till the day I die. That guy's Marky Mark.
He doesn't want to remember those days.
He wants to be legitimate, Mark Wahlberg. No, you're fucking Marky Mark, dude.
No, he's Sully now. That's all he is.
Oh my god!
He's a big time star in Hollywood. You know, I'm just saying.
Actually, Mob Hits. Yeah. Remedy does have their own game engine. That's the one they use,
yes,
man.
They do.
Yeah,
the Remedy game engine is what they made Control with.
Yep.
They don't use Unreal like everybody else does under the sun.
Yeah, they have their own. So I'm guessing this one's going to be on their engine. But generally, I agree. Yeah, if anyone's going to remake the game, it should be the guys who made it. You know,
I'm going to say this though. This also makes a really good case for them to essentially update their engine on Rockstar's budget.
That's true. Because
I don't know if they're working on Alan Wake 2 right now. I don't know what their next thing is, but
yeah.
I mean, I remember like back in the day that was Remedy was one of the first companies to essentially demonstrate a version of ray tracing running on their engine.
Yeah, no, Bob Hitz, you could tell that's their engine. No other engine looks like that. You could, like, when you see a Remedy game, you know it's a Remedy game instantly.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
it's kind of like the way like Kojima's games looked like Kojima's games. You know, anything developed by his studio sort of looks like it.
Yeah, it's our style, because think about it, right? We had the Fox engine, right, and then we had Decima engine. They look the same because they're under Kojima. You know what I'm saying? Like, basically, you know, it's the same artist using different tools. It's going to still have that artist touch. You know. So that's pretty cool. Does anyone know why Take-Two never bought Remedy outright? Maybe Remedy didn't want to be bought, you know?
No, that they sold the Max Payne franchise to open their own pull away from this from Rockstar that stuff. So
yeah, but companies still have the option of just saying no.
All of them want to be bought.
Exactly. Yeah, because I think people have this misconception that, you know, a bigger company just comes in like a big fish and just swallows a little one. It doesn't work like that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
All right, and the last thing I have here. So the new Need for Speed, the one that's coming out this year, will be current gen only, right? And the reason I'm bringing this up is because I don't really care about Need for Speed anymore. I'm just excited. I'm like, are we finally going to see the change, right? Will we finally start getting current gen only games, you know, because that's what I want. You know, we're still doing this cross gen bullshit, you know, but at the same time, this thing's by Criterion. Maybe it'll make it like Burnout, you know. Isn't that sad that we have to play Need for Speed to get a little bit of a Burnout taste? Fucked up.
They were doing Need for Speeds and they weren't adding that crash element. I don't understand it. They know people want it,
yeah, because remember. What is it? Most Wanted, Adam? The new one? It was basically Burnout. This shit was basically Burnout, you know? They had all that shit. But, you know, again, Need for Speed has kind of lost its way hardcore in the last...
And then we just got that remaster. Remember? They just did the remaster on all platforms. Switch, even the Burnout Paradise. And I think it sold well. People want it.
Yeah, people want the shit.
Just make another one. How can that be? You don't even put freaking NPCs anywhere. It's just Car World.
That's true. That's all that exists is cars, you know.
Car World.
You know, when I play my son, he's like, "Are there people here?" I'm like, "No, go ahead, run on the sidewalk. You're not going to run anyone over. It's okay."
Is it okay, Daddy?
Yeah, it's okay. In this game.
Interesting. Mob Hits goes, would Remedy be a studio that Microsoft could pick up without some people batting an eye? They don't want to be. They're independent, dude. Like
they've already been in the camp of Microsoft, and they kind of pulled away from it.
Yeah, exactly. They already pulled away. They're not going to go back. You know.
Remember they did that game that had the combination of like live action games? TV, with the TV and all that.
They were a part of that whole TV initiative.
All these plans and TV show that connected.
Remedy was already basically a Microsoft company, broke away, you know.
Yeah, they had. I mean, Microsoft was what pulled them away from, putting Alan Wake on multi-platform.
Yeah,
that's right.
It was exclusive, originally going to be shipping on everything, and then they did that exclusive, which was Quantum Break.
And I got into it. I did a few of the episodes, and I was like, you know what, this shit's whack. And then I stopped playing.
You just didn't like playing Iceman.
Yeah. All right, man. That's actually it for stories. So let's talk about what games we've been playing, man. And I'm glad.
Oh, come on! All you've been playing Elden Ring, except for Adam.
Yeah, but Adam, you know, he has enough to cover this entire segment. You know.
Can I go first?
Oh yeah, you can. Go ahead.
I've been playing nothing.
Uh-oh.
What?
Not even the Switch? Not even on Switch on rooftops, man?
Man, no party.
That's a good point. That's a good point. I did.
You had all those rooftops. Did you even bring your Switch?
Yes, he did. He took a picture of the Switch on a rooftop.
I posted it on Twitter.
Yeah.
Did you tag them in it so that way they can go and say, see, it's real?
I'm glad Tony mentioned it because
tell us what you're saying is that if people post something or if people are doing something and they take a photo of it and then they post on Twitter, then they don't actually play it.
Oh, well,
that is true. And by the way, I've been waiting for years since the Switch came out. You know the running joke. You know, it's like rooftop parties. It's like who brings it? So I'm like, all right. My apartment has a rooftop and in New York. And when I get there, I'm going to bring my Switch, not to play it, but to take a picture of of the Switch. And my caption was on the tweet was, the Switch in its natural environment, and it's on a rooftop.
You know?
So I brought my Switch, I put it on the rooftop, I turned it on, put Metroid Dread, took a picture, and I'm done with that.
Damn.
So it got its worth. And yeah, that's what I've been playing.
I don't know how well you probably can't see that too well, but there's Carlos's Switch on the rooftop. Very cool. All right, Adam, what you got, man?
Still playing Tiny Tina's Wonderlands.
How is that awesome game?
It's good. It is a different take on Borderlands. very fun. It's Dungeons and Dragons. Tiny Tina is playing a few other characters, and you're one of them, and you get to create your own character. She starts developing the world as you progress. So you get to certain points, and it was like, oh, there's a big castle here, and enemies, and skeletons. I'm like, I don't see anything. And then all of a sudden, it just pops up out of the ground, like, skies turn black and stuff like Mordor. It's really fun. It's cool. A lot of fun dialogue. If you're into Borderlands humor, you'll enjoy that. If you don't like that humor, you won't.
Uh-oh.
But it definitely got me to play more Borderlands. Some buddies are that's a good one. So those two have been playing. What else? There was something. Of course, WWE 2K22. Still playing that. They're doing a great job with it. They're supporting it. Some hiccups for the online creation. They said, oh, yeah, you can have 100 created wrestlers, which is great. But they forgot that each wrestler has 50 to 60 different items. And that was taking up space and it was causing the game to crash. So my game kept crashing and couldn't figure out why. Until it was like, oh, you have some... I didn't even have anywhere near 100 created guys. But the ones I did have had a bunch of attachments on them. You know, different layers, outfits, whatever, to make them look... But they seem to have fixed that. It's good. So playing that. And I feel like there was something else. And pinball. Getting back into Zen Pinball. Kind of upset that they do Pinball 3 and none of the rules are back. Some people have large collections. No, you can't play any. You have to buy them all over again. Apparently DR and all. So we'll see. But I just want to know if versions of what we've seen. The newer pinball. Like Guns N' Roses. Willy Wonka. Awesome. Real ones that cost like $11,000. That'd be cool if we had. Because they've been pricey. The Indiana Jones pinball that's out now costs $14. Not cheap. Just for one table.
You're speaking to... By the way, I have an interesting observation.
Uh-oh.
So I've been I just find it's pretty funny and ironic. I've been with Tony to Barcade like 3 times, right?
Yeah.
I think over 3 times.
Yeah.
Great times. We've never played any of the games.
I've been going to that Barcade for like 6 years. I've never played a single game there ever.
Isn't that a game?
That's a lie. Because you said you did a Soul Calibur thing. Remember the tournament?
No, that was not a Barcade. That was not a Barcade, dude.
What?
That was at this other bar. But that was not a Barcade. Yeah, that specific Barcade, I go there to chill. You know?
Wait. Hold on a second. You go to a video game bar in which you've never played a video game, but you went to a regular bar in which you did?
Yes, because there was a tournament going on.
Okay. Okay.
It was a tournament. I signed up for it, you know? But,
I feel like that's irony, man.
Call yourself a gamer?
Yeah, man, you fake. Well, you know, I'm a game journalist, right? We're so all supposedly all fake gamers, you know?
By the way,
just like those fake motherfuckers that play Elden Ring looking at the TV with the TV on with their hands. You're not a real gamer if you're playing Elden Ring that way. Real Elden Ring players, they don't even play that shit on space on Earth. They play that shit on Jupiter with heavy gravity, you know?
Oh, shit. I want to talk about that because real Elden Ring players play with one amputated foot, all right? But... Actually, I'm kind of glad you brought that up, if you don't mind me derailing for a second.
No, I mean, we're talking about games we're playing anyway, but if I can, go ahead.
Cool.
Yo, man, you Brett, playing Elden like Ring? Thing, I didn't know.
Oh, go ahead, Brian.
I like one thing to say, like, really quickly. But Brett, do you play with salt in your porridge?
Yes, and I tape one eye shut.
Yeah, it's like, look at you fucking noob. You're looking at the TV while playing Elden Ring? Nah, man, you don't play like that, you know?
No. Personally, I like to blind myself with pepper spray. That's just me, but... okay, so there's a lot of talk about gatekeeping going on in Elden Ring. I'm going to start this conversation by saying, first off, play the way you want. If it's in the game, fuck, even yes. If it's not in the game. Souls games have a rich and storied history of glitching the fucking bosses out. There was a boss in Dark Souls 1, very first one. You can just get him off the edge. And so, like, teasing bosses off the edges and cheesing the fuck out of them, it's a time-honored tradition. If you want to partake in it, more power to you.
Hold on, Brett, before you go on. Brett, did you see the Radon fucking video? This is perfect.
Yes, that was amazing. That was amazing. Yeah. No, just because I could. Just because I could, the two gargoyle fight, I just fucking teased them off the back of the edge. Just because, like, watching them back hop off the cliff is funny as fuck.
There you go.
I'm going to murder them in a subsequent playthrough, but that's the thing. Like, each playthrough that you do, you play a little bit differently. Like, maybe you're playing a sorcerer and you're staying away because you're made of fucking paper, and if the boss looks at you the wrong way, you're just going to explode, right? Or maybe you're playing, you know, a bonk class where you just get in there with a heavy club and you can take 9 hits and then just boop, trade damage with the guy. It's fine. There's no wrong way to play, right? I agree with everybody on this, but, and here's where the weird part comes in, unpopular opinion, but
I gotta love the haters a little bit. I honestly do, because I don't think that people in general are self-aware enough to do or express themselves the right way. But when somebody says, "Oh, you're only a Dark Souls fan if you only play the game with your feet," right? Like, I get that. What that person is really trying to say is, "I beat the game with my feet. I'm proud of myself." But then it comes out this other way, right? It comes out like, "Oh," nobody can actually believe that statement. I figure if you even pin that guy down, I'm like, really? Do you honestly believe that anybody who plays the game not using their feet isn't a real Dark Souls fan? They'll go like, no, I'm just saying. And I found myself, at least, I kind of like it a little bit. I kind of like the hate a little bit, because it's basically just competition, right? People talk shit. Nobody actually gets hurt when people talk shit. You know, you may get offended on Twitter, but that's your own fucking problem. Nobody actually gets hurt. And if everybody just kind of said, you know, lick their hands and sang kumbaya, the spirit of competition in these games, I feel, would be diminished. And this is already in what I have to say definitively is the most wholesome, least toxic community I've ever seen, right? You'll find little problems in it, but in the whole, everybody just wants to help each other and have a good time. And that's fucking weird in our day and age, right? So I don't want to see it sanitized down to the person who, yeah, sure, the guy who plays with his feet, okay, maybe I'll try playing with my feet. Maybe that's a bit of competition. And I do understand it, right? There are these meta weapons that everybody's running around with, Moonveil Katana and Rivers of Blood and all that stuff, right? They're kind of, let's be honest, if we're all being honest here and I can gatekeep, they're cheese dick weapons, right? Like, you cheese dicked your way through that boss. That's fine. It's in the game. You have every right to do that. But am I going to respect it? Am I going to respect a club with nothing but, you know, or a win with nothing but no clothes at a club more than I'm going to respect a win with the Moonveil Katana? Sure, absolutely. That's not saying the person who did it with the Moonveil Katana isn't playing the game or they're bad or anything like that. Like, but in terms of gatekeeping, I don't always think it's a bad thing, because it's the thing that separates us, right? There's these gates, they're not necessarily closed. You can easily walk through them. You can challenge yourself to do something that somebody else has done. And much like the game itself, if it seems impossible and you slowly learn to do it, there's a sense of accomplishment there, and you've earned the right to go on and brag. Maybe just, dial it down a little bit with the, well, you're only a Souls player if you do this. But I think the spirit, the heart under the idiotic comments is actually a good thing that I don't want to see go away. I don't want to see that competition go away. I don't want to see that competitive nature go away. Shit, I don't want to see shit talking go away, right? It's a time-honored tradition of video games. Toughen up, Buttercup. But I do understand how the language that everybody's using, people feel like they're being gatekeeped. But, you know, I honestly don't think it is. I don't think anybody that you sit down and talk to, if you're like, really? You think that really they didn't really beat Dark Souls if you used Ashes? And 99% of the time, they're just going to go, well, I mean, like, you know, it's kind of a crutch. It makes the game easier. Yeah, we all recognize that. So there's not a difficulty in the game that you can choose. So you play your own way. I personally play with whips. Are they the best weapon? God, no, they're not. They will never be the best weapon. And for that reason, they'll never be meta. But I like challenging myself to play a Castlevania style. To me, it's more fun. And it's not just about getting the biggest damage numbers and running through the bosses as quickly as possible. I like having fun. So, for the most part, I run around with my whips. I have Rivers of Blood in my back pocket in case somebody invades me and tries to be a cheese dick about it. But for the most part, I play the way that I want to. I challenge myself to play a way that is harder than most people choose to. Do I think that people who don't do that don't be Dark Souls? No. But am I going to brag a little bit about it? Yeah, maybe just a little bit. I beat Elden Ring with whips. Eat that, motherfucker.
Yeah, I don't know. To me, I find it silly, because it's like, you know, and this has been going on since the beginning with this game, right? Oh, using Ashes, it's fucking cheap. And then I had that hat thrown at me. And then, oh, you beat that boss on horseback? You didn't really beat him. It's like, yeah, I did. It counts as a win. What the fuck are you talking about? I'm not over here using mods like some other people. Let's be real here. I'm using what the game tells me, you know? And also with this whole competition thing, it's like, oh, look how much better I am than you. It's like, dude, I'm fucking 42 years old. I'm not a fucking kid. I need to show how much better I am than anyone. Let me play my fucking game. Mind your goddamn business. How about that?
I'm surprised you're even talking about it. Who cares? Why do you have to explain yourself?
Because every day I have to deal with this shit. Because I love the game and I like posting my reactions. 99% of the time, people are cool. But there's those, oh, you use the fucking horse? What the fuck is wrong with you? Oh, you use Ashes of War? Fuck is wrong with you? You're not really playing that shit. And then one dude even goes, oh, let me show you how to really play a game. I know how to play the fucking game. How about you mind your own fucking business? How about that? You know, it's stupid. You know, like, obviously it's not something serious or whatever, but it's just annoying. You know, it's like, what do I have to prove to you, Mr. Anonymous Asshole on Twitter? You know, what do I need to prove to you? I'm a grown ass man. I got nothing to prove to you, motherfucker. You know.
So Tony, would it be different to you if someone said like, oh, if you beat that boss, they said, man, I beat that boss without a horse. Would that read any different to you, or would
no? I'd be like, cool. I'd be like, cool, good for you. You beat the boss just like I did. Whatever. I do not give a shit. I don't have that competitive thing. Again, I'm too old for that shit. I'm done with that.
It's so weird because it's pointless to argue because it's
absolutely pointless.
It's not like you put in a cheat. It's not like, oh, I had to switch it to baby mode and look, I got a whore. It's just part of the game, right?
Yeah, so exactly.
What is the problem?
Again, these dudes want to feel better about themselves. They want to put you down, you know?
Yeah, they're making
Hold on. There's some fundamentals here, right? If somebody comes up bragging about beating Margaret, right? And they're level 200. What are you going to say to them?
I see what you're getting at, but it's like, okay, cool, you beat them, whatever. I don't care.
No, I know. See, that's the thing, though. It's not black and white, though.
Yeah.
It's not cool you beat him or you didn't beat him. There is a very big gray area, and they're like, yeah, you beat him. I mean, asterisk, you're level 200, but you beat him. Like, that asterisk, that's the part I don't mind having.
Yeah, no, I get that. And again, in my younger days, I would like, you didn't fart. Like, what the fuck? Level 200? You cheese that. I get that. But now, like, I don't give a fuck, dude. I don't give a fuck. You know, you beat them at level 200. I was level 20. Who gives a shit? You know?
They do. They do. And they've put in the work, and they have a right to feel good about it. That's the thing.
Oh, that's fine. We need to find a middle ground. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Is all we need to change the whole, like, you didn't really play it? Like,
it's sad. It's sad because this was the whole reason why Microsoft created Achievement. So that way people could brag and show proof. But now people are pushing the goalposts in a whole other direction because unless there's an achievement or a trophy for beating that boss not on the horse, then what does it matter? You know what I mean? Because you both got the same trophy for doing it.
Yeah, I'm not even talking. The speedrunning community would debate that, Adam.
They need proof then. Wait, then let's go on.
No, they sure, but I'm not even talking I'm not even talking Souls games. Like, the Mario speedrunning community, like, it's okay to impose your own restrictions and then pass those and brag about doing it, right? I just don't think
but you can't poo-poo others for not doing my point.
Yeah, exactly where I'm coming at it from, you know? I'm like, great, you beat it like that, cool.
Two sides of the same coin. You know? I agree, it is broadcast in the wrong way, but I think taking away that whole spirit of competitiveness would, you know... I think it's just language at the end of the day.
By the way, I'm not saying it should go away. I just think it's stupid. Obviously, they're going to go away. I'm just saying it's dumb. That's all I'm saying. You know,
there's a big call on Twitter for, like, you know, I wish all this gatekeeping would just go away. And it kind of reminds me of the same thing of, like, comic books, man. Like, look, just because you come in and you're like, I like Wolverine, and I'm like, all right, in issue 265 of blah, 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 like, or like, you're like, Wolverine, all right, what's the skeleton made out of, huh? Like, it is gatekeeping, but there's also it's inevitable. Whenever you have fandoms comparing each other on anything, knowledge, skill, blah de blah, you're gonna kind of get this. And personally, maybe I'm the only person in the world that feels this way. I don't mind gatekeeping, unless it's closed door gatekeeping. Unless you are not going to let me into the other room until I've passed some sort of fucking bullshit test of yours, right? But as long as I can still, like, enjoy all of the fandom. And some people are just like, well, you know, you're not an Uber fan. I'm an Uber fan. Cool. You're an Uber fan. I'm not an Uber fan. If I really want to be an Uber fan, I'll study more. There's no problem with the idea of progression to a higher level or whatnot. The problem is when you keep people out of that. And that was the original term of gatekeeping, right? But nobody's actually stopping anybody from doing anything. Nobody's stopping anybody from saying, I beat Elden Ring. They're just saying their opinion of, like, man, I think it's illegitimate. I personally challenge myself to this, and this is what I consider beating it, right? Like, okay, you don't have the language skills to express that. I get it. But nobody's actually stopping you from doing anything. That's what fucking gatekeeping is. No, you can't come to the party because you don't know Wolverine well enough. You can't come to my birthday because you don't know enough about Spider-Man. Like, that's fucking gatekeeping, man. Like, this whole idea of I don't acknowledge your win because you did it this way and I did it this way. So fucking what? That's video games, man. Like, We came up on the idea of spending money in quarters to fight each other and shit talk. When did we all get so sensitive?
It's not really sensitive. It's more like tool for this nonsense. And I do want to make it clear. I'm not saying this should stop. I'm just saying, you know, if you're going to tell me that, I'm going to call you a fucking asshole. That's all I'm saying.
I'm not even talking about you. I'm just talking about the
conversation going on Twitter. Yeah, right? By the way, I agree with you. It's like, no, don't tell these people to stop. This is part of the culture. I get that. I'm just saying I outgrew that part of the culture. But no, let them talk their shit. I'll just block motherfuckers if they get too crazy. You know what I'm saying? Yeah but
I mean, I don't have the time to do it with my play Elden Ring with my feet either, right? Like, but I respect.
By the way, no one's really
doing
that. But you know, some people are, you know, they're kind of putting.
Dude, there are people that like beat Dark Souls without hands. All right, I just want to fucking point this out. Like,
yeah, shout out to them, by the way. Shout out to them if they do that. By the way,
no, for sure. Yeah. When we're talking about a game where everybody's talking about, we need to have a real discussion about accessibility. Accessibility is the discussion about handicapped players being able to access the full part of the game despite their handicap, right? Like, it's making it accessible to people, right? It doesn't mean making it fucking easy so everybody can beat it. And when somebody beats Dark Souls with no fucking hands, I'd call that pretty fucking accessible.
Yeah, that's a good point. I'm not even getting to the accessibility part. She's like, all right, bro, just chill out with
that
nonsense.
It's so easy. Yeah. Either with no hands.
But I have had fun making fun of those people. It's like, I tweet out, I'm like, man, unless you're playing this shit with a DDR pad and a weighted vest, you ain't playing this shit, you know? Like, I got jokes for days about this. It's hilarious.
I mean, yeah, that's the response to somebody throwing shade. You throw shade back.
Yeah, that's why I've been doing it. I've been loving that. It's like, what else can you do, you know? But regardless, Elden Ring, my game of the year. Fucking awesome. I love it. It's great. So that's all I've been playing. So that was my excuse to just talk about Elden Ring for about 20 minutes. So thank you, Brett. I'm assuming that's the only game you're playing.
Elden Ring.
I'll piggyback off that and say, Tony, I don't want to say impressed because, you know, I know you're a gamer and I know you're a good gamer. None of that was ever in any question, but I am very pleased with how well you've taken to Elden Ring. When you told me that you were in the land of the giants, I was like, fuck, dude. Dude is plowing through this game.
Hell
granted,
yeah.
I'm looking for a bunch of lore, but I'm rocking through the game, digging up things, and motherfucker's right there with me. I didn't see him online for like 2-3 weeks, so I just assumed he wasn't playing much. And, you know, in
our
fairness,
schedules
Tony,
aren't, you know, synced up anymore. That's why.
Yeah. And in fairness, you were a little bit more reticent to the previous titles. Like, you took a bit more coaxing to get you in there. And this one, you just really seemed to have just plowed through it. I think that's fucking awesome.
I don't know, man. I disagree with that, to be honest. Yeah, because, like, with Demon's, we got to go back now. We got to go back.
Demon's Souls. With Demon's, PS3.
Demon's Souls, it's the PS3. I played that for an hour. I'm like, fuck this shit. I'm never going to play any of these games, right? It wasn't until Chris had an extra copy of Bloodborne that he was willing to sell to me for $40. I'm like, fuck it, I guess. Why not? What do I have to lose, you know? And I played Bloodborne. I'm like, oh, I get it. This is fucking awesome. Then when Dark Souls 3 came out, I didn't hesitate. Bought that shit day one. Demon Souls, the remake, bought that shit day one. This one, obviously I bought it, but I was hesitant because I'm like, oh, I don't know about this open world shit. And then, like, it took me about 10 hours to finally settle in. So this is the Souls game that took me the longest to get into. Because I
was, I wasn't talking about buying it. Like, I was talking about, like, the encouragement you need to get to a play session, right? Like, for Bloodborne, it was a lot of, hey, man, we're getting on playing Bloodborne. You should come on with us, right? Like, hey, we're all going. You should join, right? Dark Souls 3 was like, hey, man, you should be playing some Dark Souls. We should all be playing some Dark Souls. It was kind of communal, right? Like, at that point, like, we didn't have to, like, coax you over. You just kind of, did it on your own. Like, Elden Ring, I've noticed at this point, you're just fucking like, you're just going, man. Like,
yeah, man.
There's not even, it's gone from, hey, we're playing a Souls game. Do you want to come to, I can't play a Souls game, and Tony being like, fuck it, I don't need you.
Yeah, well, again, it's just because of my schedule now. I can only play like a couple of hours during the week, so I have to just play on my own. And it's been cool, even though I still obviously jump in with some like randos and stuff, you know, and like you said, very cool community overall. Fuck what the Twitter guys are saying. But no, it's been fantastic. Now, Brett, I'm at a point where I'm like, I feel I'm getting close, and I'm like, oh, no, let's just stretch this out as much as I can. You know what I'm saying? Because this shit is good.
I'm scared I'm going to get back home. And I'm going to turn on Elden Ring, and I'm just not going to have that same magic, man.
No. Yo, Carlos, though, there's the difference now. When you're back, Polanco tours, man. Let's go.
You got
Polanco tours. You got Sealy tours. You got Murdoch tours, man. Let's fucking go.
Yo, it's so the Murdoch Express.
You know?
So where I left off was the land of the giants as well.
Okay. Ooh, okay.
That's where I was. So if you guys got the land of the giants tour, I'd be happy to take it.
Yeah. Okay. So Carlos, I purposely am not progressing the main game from that part. I'm like, oh, okay, let's go back now. Something happens, right? I'm not going to say this, but something happens. I'm like, oh, okay, let me do some other shit first. So when you get back, which will be next week, I'm guessing, we'll be good.
Yes.
You know, yeah, we'll be good to go. So, yeah. Actually, I mean, Carlos, you
I'll have a new more. Character up there by then. Yeah.
Carlos, you give me even more incentive to slow down even further. So, perfect.
Or build a new character. There's only so many larval tears in the game, man. You can only switch from like kabonk to magic so many times. If you want to try everything, you're gonna have to make multiple characters.
I like, you know, Brett, you know what kind of character I like. I like my fucking, you know, Conan dude just hitting shit. I don't need anything else.
Yeah, happy. But when you finish, I can tell you like there's a whole other game that's basically it is Elden Ring, but it's also a completely different game if you play this different style.
And yeah, oh yeah, for sure. You know, because I did that in, I think it was Dark Souls. Yeah, I tried a couple builds. At the end, I'm like, I just like my melee guy. That's what I like, you know? I don't, you know, and by the way, I'm not one of those assholes. Well, you shouldn't use magic. Absolutely use magic. I'm just saying I don't personally use magic because I want to go in and hit shit.
Yeah, this game, you know? You should try magic. They made magic fun for everybody in this one.
Yeah.
Yeah, they really buffed magic.
Oh, yeah, no, absolutely. That's why, you know, when I'm fighting a boss and he's just getting annoying, what I do is when I do the summon shit, I look for the guys who have, like, weird hats or robes. I'm like, that's a magic user.
And motherfucker gets a giant hat, no clothes, and a sword bigger than you.
You know that guy's – and they always worry about the Kamehameha or some other crazy shit, you know?
You know, Tony, I've noticed a direct correlation to how powerful my character is and how little clothes she's wearing. I don't know how – but by the end of the clothes, I'm wearing like a tube top, some snakes on my arms, and some bandages around my ankles. And I will just fuck stuff up.
Nice.
In the beginning of the game, I was like all cluttered up. You know, I had fucking like the exile armor on that like went up to my eyes. Like I was just basically a pile of clothes, constantly getting my ass kicked. Now I'm pretty much half naked, wrecking everything in sight. I wonder what the correlation is.
I don't know, man. It's interesting. All right, Chris, you want to jump in with some Elden Ring stuff? Because I know you've been playing.
Yeah, I mean, I finished the main story, so I'm just trying to acquire all the legendary items. I think I'm at 80% of the trophies.
So, Chris, when you get all of them, because, you know, I have one of the items you need, right? So I'll give that to you, the trophy should pop, and then I take it back because I need it for myself.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's what I did in Demon's Souls, like, on PS3. I needed, like, one fucking sword, and some guy just handed it to me.
Yeah,
he just was like, here. And I was like, oh, it popped, here you go. <That's> so good. But, yeah, so I'm trying to find, like, all the little things, and then there was, like, NPCs I hadn't like finished their quest line or whatever. I found Carlos's favorite girl. She still gives hugs.
I completed that.
Yo, yeah, man, they
she's around, man.
I mean that's the main reason why I left this game for a month. I'm like I can't deal with this anymore. I needed my hugs and I went to New York to find them.
You know. Oh man.
And Tony, we helped progress you through that a little bit. Like,
of course.
Give some credit to the Murdoch tours. I'll point your ass in the right direction.
Yeah, you helped me out the other day. I was stuck. I'm like, bro, let's go, man. Let's do some shit. You know? Absolutely.
Dude, like I was like, you go left, and Tony like went left and like fucked up two bosses.
Yeah,
it's
man.
Funny.
Yeah, but yeah, we played the other day. I was like, yeah, bro, I'm stuck, man. Let's go. We whipped some ass too.
I'm also trying to figure out all the lore. So when I shuffle you through, it'll kind of be like, and to the left, you will see the fallen ruins of so-and-so, where Queen Marika and her army first dealt battle in the beginning of the Shattering.
Yeah, that was, Bray gave me, like, this, all, like, epic fucking lore dump. I was like, this is great, because I'm doing just some random shit, listening to the story. It's cool, good stuff.
I don't know. I have a pin board of lore, like, Pepe Silvia. I'm like, how the fuck does this connect to?
Yeah.
It's like, I gave up. I'm just trying to find shit so I know where, like, when Carlos or you or whatever is like, hey, where did I get this? It's like, well, this dragon pops out when you walk in this field over here, so we're going to go kill him.
But Chris, who is the Glowmite Queen?
I don't know. I have pictures with question marks on them. I don't know. I went into the Shaded Castle and I saw a picture of Melania. I was like, what the fuck is that? What does this have to do with her? I'm not even near that place.
Oh, man. All right. Brian, what have you been playing lately?
I have been playing what I think is possibly the best action game of the year so far.
Oh, Elden Ring?
No, I said best.
Oh.
Oh,
No, actually, I have no idea. Elden Ring, it looks good. I've been playing Strangers of Paradise, Final Fantasy Origin.
My God. Oh. Firstly, tell us about this.
Firstly, Tony, to answer the thing that I said to you, that scene is real.
What?
He does just say bullshit, plays Linkin Park, and then walks off the
screen. Wow. Oh, my God.
The best part, Tony, is that it gets worse.
Really?
Or, it gets worse. Well, depends, worse or better, depending on how you feel about the game. Yeah, it's strangely great to watch. Like, okay, you know how, like, in most games, you play like a character and like they go to like a place and then someone just monologues for like half an hour and then you're sat there having to watch it.
Yeah.
Imagine playing a character who just has no time for that shit. And that is the main character. Like, anytime someone starts to monologue, he'll just turn around and say, like, no, shut up. Tell him about this or fuck off. And that's his attitude. Like, it's so brilliant because it makes so much sense. Because so many times people just monologue, and then you're wondering, why are you letting the bad guy just monologue? Like, punch him in the face. And that's what Jack does. He just says, no, like, I don't give a crap about your monologue. Like, I don't care who you are. You're in my way, so you must die.
Hilarious.
You know, it's... See, that's what I mean by either you really like it or you really hate it, depending on how you feel about that type of stuff. And I think it's really great because, again, I'm just tired of, like, why are you letting him monologue? Just punch him in the face. Like, we all know you're going to do so, and plus you don't care about his reasoning, you know? So, yeah, it is surprisingly good in that sense. The best part is the backstories for the other characters. So do you want to hear what the backstories are?
Let's not do that on the air, you know?
No. Spoilers. Trust me, Tony.
Okay.
No, trust me. This is good.
Okay.
Okay, so here's the backstories.
Wow!
Exactly. They just walk on screen, they have stones in their hands, and say, hey, we're here to kill chaos.
Wow.
And he's like, cool, so am I. And that's it.
That's hilarious.
I have no idea who they are. All I know is their first names.
I saw this one scene. It was like between the girl and the main dude. And I'm like, okay, this is dialogue. And these are words I understand. But the sequence that these words are coming out and the inflections, none of this makes any sense. This is technically dialogue, but it's rubbish.
Like, oh, gosh. Like, he has no dialogue. Like, the guy grunts so many times, you have no idea. Like, at some point, there's a part where he goes to, like, rest at a hotel, and then the guy at the front desk is like, okay, cool, we have a room for you that the king made. You know, you can go up. And then he just goes, and then just walks inside, and that's it. Like, he doesn't like to talk, he just likes to grunt, and it's so beautiful, because he just doesn't care. And I don't understand how they are dressed compared to everyone else. Because everyone else is, like, in, like, these high fantasy clothes, you know, like, extravagant, like, shoulder pads and whatnot and fur this and silk that. And this guy looks like he came from Hot Topic. It's not explained so far, so it's weirdly great. So, yeah, enough about the story, because it's just pure meme at this point. Like, you should just watch, like, a video of, like, some cutscenes, and then you'll get a taste of just how wonderfully refreshing it is. I'll say that.
Yeah, I don't
refreshing
know about that because I
or bad.
Yeah, because I yeah.
It's refreshing because it's very different.
Yeah, but not in a good way, because I did play that demo. I'm like, yeah, this is not for me. This is just terrible, you know, in my estimation, on every conceivable level. Dialogue is bad, the combat is bad, the graphics are bad. I'm like, this is just terrible. All this is horrible, you know? Like,
okay. I agree with you there. The dialogue is just kind of meh. But it's weirdly endearing in that this is, like, really bad, but you just kind of love it because it's like, yeah, I kind of like this guy. He just doesn't care. It's beautiful. The combat is actually quite nice. It's a lot deeper than I thought it would be, given all the different systems and classes and whatnot. People have said that it's very much like Neo, in that you have, like, two main... Well, you have, like, the different stances, and you can switch between them. So something similar to that, but instead you have two different classes, and you switch between them at any time. And each one has different weapons, different attacks, and you can chain them together. And yeah, it's very much like Devil May Cry meets Souls in that sense. So it's
Devil Souls
pretty fun.
Or Ninja Gaiden.
Never played it, so I wouldn't know.
Gasp!
Yeah, no, I mean, you know, glad you like it, but I thought that combat was bad. I didn't like it at all.
God, the combat's actually fine. It's really satisfying. And it's, I guess, if you enjoyed Metal Gear Rising for its weird...
I hated that game. You know how I felt about that game.
Hence why I say that, yeah, if you enjoyed that one, I'm sure that you'll enjoy this one. It's similar in that sense. But if you didn't like it, then, yeah, this is not for you. But, again, as an action game, it's just good. No, it's... I can see where the confusion would kick in between that and FIFA, but no, they're not the same, unfortunately.
Oh, man. All right. Manny, have you been playing anything?
Nah, man, I'm too busy making games to play them. I've been fairly busy as of late. But, you know, eventually I got some games waiting there for me.
Got to finish off that Nier.
Yeah, I got to finish off Nier. And Guardians of the Galaxy.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You did get that, yeah.
Yeah, I do have it. Yeah.
That's crazy. All right, man, I think we're done here, man. Another good show. So do we have anything to plug? Manny, you can't talk about anything yet, can you?
I can't talk about any of the projects that I am working on currently. But
you're like Hassan, soon. You can't talk about it.
No, I can't talk about it. And I'm actually under NDA. Yeah. But I was on a podcast, recorded up another podcast today, which is called...
Adam, you hear this shit, man? He's cheating, man. You hear this shit? He's cheating.
I hear it all the time. I say it all the time.
Which is called the Turtle Tracks Podcast, which you can find that on SoundCloud.
You're making them rounds?
Yeah, I'm making them. I make a little rounds. It's a funny story about this one is that I actually worked with this guy on a piece for Inverse. So the Wolverine retrospective article that I did the artwork for, this guy actually wrote it, and he was looking at my Twitter, and he's like, "Wait a minute, you worked on Ninja Turtles?" I'm like, "Yes, I did." So we've been trying to get together and sort of square things away for a while now. And we finally did something to do. It's good. And I also gave him the, the names of a couple of people from the who worked on our show. It's pretty nice. Cool.
Is that up now? That episode?
No, it's not going. Mine is probably going to be up in the following week. Before me is going to be Chuck Patton, which was our first director on Ninja Turtles, and then I come up next.
Nice. All right, Adam, what you got?
We got the mid-season finale, King Dead, or the I Am the Walk Dead podcast, myself, Richard McCarlo.
So
that one's up there, yeah. So spoiler, it was garbage, and we break it down why it was garbage. But then we're coming back, at least Rich and I, the Fear the Walking Dead, that comes back, and we're going to talk about the spinoff. We got a spinoff of a spinoff. That's right, Walking Dead for days.
Nice. A lot of dead going on.
It just proves that shit. I mean, it costs maybe $300 to make a show or something. They just keep banging them out. It can't. They're like, all right, what are we going to do next? Let's make another spinoff. All right. It's like, we got this one. We got Owl of the Dead, which is with Negan. And that's actually being filmed in New York.
So, oh, okay.
Yeah, so that's the other one. It's another spin. And we got the Carol and Daryl. That's another spinoff.
Pearl and Daryl.
Yeah.
Pearl and Daryl.
And then we got the Terry Crews spinoff. So it's there's a lot of
Walking Dead. He got his own show?
Well, he's one of the cast members of Walking Dead Anthology.
It's amazing to me that I guess these shows must be making bank because they keep making them, you know?
Yeah, they keep making them. And that's the thing. They're still hitting in the millions with the views. Yeah. Yes, it's not on where they first launched 13, but still 5, 7. That's higher than Flash and all those other shows.
Yeah, that's TV. Right. Yeah.
So this makes it just makes more sense. It was like, and how much is in the woods, right? And you got some little shacks. There you go. So
now they're filming in New York. So
well, that's what I'm saying. That's the one. And apparently, this is not going to be different because of the scenery in a big city, but also the walk going to be 20 days later type one. They're going to be
interesting.
Yeah,
they're runners now. They're not walkers.
They're runners, exactly. They're changing it, right? The running dead. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. But yeah, they said that if this works out, revamp the round. And he sort of hinted at that at the beyond that nobody wanted was garbage. But at the end, that's what they start evolving and start running.
Wow, Jossie thinks it's funny, man.
She does. She thinks it's funny. Mm-hmm. She thinks I'm. Yeah, I saw her on Instagram. She's saying I'm full of shit. I mean, you know, but it's fun. It's fun. I that's her sense of humor. I'm used to it. But yeah, we'll see. So yeah, go ahead and check it out. I Spotify, I the Coalition with a K, not the fake one. To see Coalition with a K came first 10 years. Now it's almost 12 years, and the other one, Coalition, 25 years.
You know, this is true. This is true. All right, man. So we're done here. So make sure you follow Throwdown on Twitch and Twitter and hit up our Discord where the rumors are always popping and the conversation is ongoing. And also shout out to all the Discord crew for giving us our topics for every week. You know, we pull these straight from, you know, what happens in there. So thank you guys for keeping the show going, you know. We got our Throwdown community, man. You can find us on any podcast app by searching for Throwdown Show. That's two words, Throwdown Show. And you can visit throwdownshow.com to listen to past episodes. And if you have been watching us on YouTube and you enjoyed the content, make sure you hit like, subscribe, and hit the bell to be notified of when episodes go live. Yes, it's very, very funny. make sure you check out the links below to find us all over the internets, man. Once again, I was your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight I was joined by Emilio Lopez.
See you next time.
Chris Seeley.
Hey, take care, everyone.
Carlos Romero.
Peace out.
Adam Vail.
Play games the way you like them. Life is short.
You know? Brett Murdoch.
Deuces.
And Brian Majoma.
It's a special type of smooth brain to go to a gaming conference knowingly when you have COVID.
Oh, man. The industry.
Oh, I missed something.
Yeah, we'll talk about that off air. All right, people, we'll see you on Sunday. Peace out.